I am Dr. Sheen, an Oxford and Cambridge graduate, a tech entrepreneur and business coach. And you are listening to Dream Girl, my weekly podcast where I chat to amazing women about their professional journeys, unconventional choices, and how to live your best true self. Hello and welcome back to the show. If you're new here, I'm Sheen, your host, and my guest today needs no introduction. She's honestly one of the funniest creatures I've ever seen online, and we're really hoping she will be funny today as well. So please join me in welcoming May.
What the bulging? What kind of intro is that? I need an intro. What is that? And you're hoping I'm going to be funny today?
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
Well, let's see how she performs. Hi, May.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I have a question I ask every guest when we start. Well, given that she's never watched my podcast, she doesn't know. But it's great. It makes for surprise value. Come on.
I want to be as raw and as authentic as possible. So exactly. I find that like when I come less prepared, it's better.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all say. So how would you introduce yourself without telling us where you're from and what you do?
Well, I'm Mama Effect's daughter. The
Love
online
that.
Sensation.
Yes, yeah.
I go crazy. I make the people go crazy and we all laugh together and have a good time.
Okay. And what makes you happy?
What makes me happy is doing the things I love, being around good people, and eating great food and coffee and matcha. That's it.
You're a matcha girl.
Yeah, and money and, you know, and nice things.
I know. I mean, yeah.
Keep it simple. Life is simple.
I know. I like it. Keep it simple, you know, just money.
Just a little bit of money, you know?
Okay.
Trips.
Well, listen.
Okay.
No, tell us.
No.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that later.
Life is all about having fun, like doing whatever, okay? And doing whatever costs.
I agree. I think that's why what people get wrong about money does not buy happiness, right?
For you. For you. Keep that to yourself. Because what you're not going to do is ruin it for everybody else.
Right. Right. I agree. I think money definitely brings happiness.
Yeah. And it's usually the rich ones that say that too.
Because after they've made the money.
Don't listen to them.
Anyway, we have so many things to talk about, right? So just to give you an overview, obviously, I know you're an American Egyptian. You moved here. You're a mama.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
I can't believe it. You have such a young energy.
Oh my God. I can't believe it. But life is crazy.
Life is crazy. We have so much to talk about. But first thing, tell me, how was it growing up in the West?
You know, it was actually, I had an amazing childhood growing up. My mom always made sure that we knew our culture and where we came from. And also, I also got to that mix, that American mix. So growing up, I remember my parents relatively super strict compared to what everybody else was experiencing. And my parents made sure I went to Arabic school on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I went to Islamic school for a very long time.
Mashallah.
Yeah, mashallah. Mm-hmm. People don't believe it.
People don't believe it
when I say
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
I got kicked out of Islamic school.
No way. So did my brother and
sister. When I was five.
When you were five?
Yeah.
What were you doing? Drawing outside the line or
No, because I went in and the first day I saw that this boy had a watch, that I had the same watch at home, and I thought he stole it and I beat him up.
At 5 years old?
At five. And the teacher sent me back saying, she's not ready yet. Keep her home for longer.
That poor boy.
And I went home and I was like, oh, my watch is actually here. And I took it from him.
Oh,
so I had
God.
To go back the next day to return the watch.
Damn. Five-year-old savage.
I know. Anyway, so you also went to Islamic
school.
Are
you like the oldest?
No, I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. Oh, interesting.
Of course, the youngest is the more problematic one usually, no?
Yeah, but it's usually the older ones that beat up. You know, they're used to.
Are you the eldest?
I'm the youngest.
Well, you definitely have younger energy. Anyway, going back to you going to Islamic school, I can see how this conversation will have ADHD.
Oh, okay, great. Growing up in America, I mean, it was cool. I honestly felt like a freak compared to my friends because I was always like on the phone making up stories. Mm-hmm. I had a curfew. My parents were stricter. I had different outfits. Like I'd be in the corner, like, you know, with my halal outfit, taking it off, then switching, like trying to fit in and find who I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I was growing up, I was actually, like, pissed about the way I had to do things. But now I really appreciate it because I'm, like, I am so humbled and it really, like, set the bar high for me and what I accept in life. And so, like, I remember those times, and I'm like, I hate it here. Oh, why can't you be like Stephanie's family? I want to sleep over. But now I'm, like, so grateful that my parents were strict. We had rules because it made us better people, you know, absolutely, with structure.
Mm. And how do you take that now into your role of being a mom?
Oh, man, I'm new to this. I'm new to this. It's actually every day I'm learning. Even, like, recently, my son is 1 year and 4 months, and so I'm just starting to say no to him because I'm ooh, like, his brain is developing, yeah, and I have to tell him that there's things that he cannot do. Mm-hmm. So just finding that way to say no. I'm the parent now. It's so crazy. Like, I'm the one that used to break all the rules. Now I have to lay down the law.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes I look at Max. I'm like, please take over. Please help me. I don't know what to do. Help me.
But you know, the advantage you have is because you used to break the rules.
Yeah.
You know how kids can actually break the rules. Your parents were a bit clueless, right?
That's true. But you know what? Like, I thought, isn't it like when you grow up, you thought you're so smart. Like, oh, they're never going to catch. There's so many times my mom called me. Like, something's not right. I know what you're doing. Allah is watching you. Lord. And I would shiver. I'm like, Mama, what are you talking about? Like, you always think you're smarter. And yeah, so there is times where I was like, I was able to calm them, let's say. Mm. But I don't know, like,
I think they know.
What if my son uses ChatGPT to lie on me? You know, like, things are changing.
He will. He will have an AI that will help him cover up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's getting harder. Like, I don't know what kind of tactics he's going to use on me.
Mm.
And so it's challenging in these times. It's challenging.
I know. But listen, you grew up in America. Yeah. Now your son is growing up in Dubai.
Yeah.
How long ago did you move?
We moved here around almost three years now.
Yeah, same. So we moved at the same time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. So how are you finding Dubai?
I love it. Like, honestly, when you get used to a certain level of living and
comfort
and safety and ease and cleanliness and everybody's so polite.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, like, when you're growing up in America, what they view of the Middle East. But when you come here, it's like, no, I can never go back to being treated like that or living right that way, because now I know what true life is, like, living with a standard that you enjoy. Like, life can be enjoyable. Like, you're not always in the rat race, not always trying to work, just pay a bill. Oh, pay taxes. Oh, no, I don't know if I'm going to get pew-pewed or, oh, I have to watch my back. Like, you know, it's really not safe in America. Yeah. They're good at marketing and they're good at, like, influencing mainstream media, but when you come to the Middle East, you can let your hair down. Look at me.
Yeah,
you she's can let her hair down.
But you know, going back to, because I was in London before moving here, and I went back in February.
Oh my God!
And everyone, the comments I was getting from friends was really surprising. You know, they still think the UAE is so backwards. For example, saying things like, do you have your passport? Does someone keep your passport, your employer? You know, it's still so backwards. And like, can you drive in Dubai? And I was like, yeah, but are you safe in your country?
Yeah.
Because I was walking in London, clenching onto my phone in my pocket because they're just snatching it out of your hands every day. So I think, yeah, people have it so wrong about the Middle East. Yeah. I love it.
It's so bad. And that's the thing why I tell people travel. Like, you need to travel. You need to experience. Don't just take anything. Don't watch one TikTok and say, I'm an expert. Oh my God, look what they do in Dubai. Look what they do in the Middle East. Go.
Yeah.
Travel. See it yourself. And then when you go back to America and you're on 125th Street in Harlem and you see what's going on, you're going to be like, oh my God, I don't know how I can go back to this. Because every time I visit New York, I'm like, I was living like this?
Yeah.
You really think it's acceptable when you're in it. And then when you go back, you start to see everything. Garbage in the streets, the homelessness, how it's not safe, how much you're paying in taxes. Like, what are you getting in return? Like, there's so many things. Like, you just grow up and you're like, okay, like, just they get you in that wheel where you're just, like, okay with the system, and it's not okay to live like that.
I know. But now tell us a little bit about your journey to content creation, because obviously I've seen your content, love it. I discovered you through your curly hair routine because you're the hair expert.
I'm sticking true to my curls are coming through, by the way. Yeah? Don't worry, they're coming.
I can't wait. People will think I'm just taking the piss out of
you. No, but it's crazy because I started content by accident, I will say. Like,
what does that mean?
By accident means that I started a company, like a jewelry company with my mom. And so we would spend a lot of time with each other. I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to get famous. I want to post things and everybody. Like, a lot of people start with the wrong intention. And I want to say when I started, you know, I was just spending a lot of time with my mom and we created a business together. And through that business, even though that business failed and it failed badly, I was able to find what I really loved, which is content creation. And I would just post stories, me and her in the moment, laughing together, or like what she would say to me, interactions. And although I'd spend like hours photographing beautiful jewelry and making sure it looked perfect, when I shared those raw moments, it would go crazy. And so, like, you know, you probably feel that when you're onto something or like something start working, you're like, no, I gotta stick to this. This is something. And so I got that feeling because I was in the phase of my life where I was trying everything. Wallah. One day I was in a hospital volunteering. One day I was in a law firm. Like, May was everywhere. Like, my mom was freaking out because she's like, what do you want to do with life? I'm like, I don't know. I gotta try. And so it's crazy. Through that, I found out, like, this is my passion. I love making people laugh. I love creating funny videos. Like, and I grew up on the time where Instagram was, like, perfect pictures. And just to, like, share raw videos and see that that's what people really wanted to see, I finally, like, felt comfortable. I felt seen because like before that I was like, damn, only like you can only get famous through one way. And like that's like growing up, like makeup, beauty.
Yep.
It wasn't like now. It's like everybody can share how they feel. Everybody could share what they're going through. And it was completely different back when I started.
When we started, there was no reels. Like,
no.
Even I saw Instagram get, you know, started.
Yeah.
So it was very different in our times. And I think you definitely found something that works for you.
Yeah.
But this is one question I have. I absolutely love your content with your mom. And it's so fun.
Oh my God.
Your mom is just an icon.
She's something else.
The way she just looks at you sometimes when she's like, what is this? You know, and it's just.
No, it's crazy because a lot of people think it's like a lot of it is scripted.
Yeah.
And most of it is her just being herself.
Seriously, that's what I was going to ask you. How much of it is scripted?
No. Like, sometimes we have ideas and we do skits.
Sure.
But the actions, the emotion, that's all Mama Wafa. And that's like, if you turn off the camera and turn it on, Mama, I feel like she's funnier off camera. And like, when she knows, but still, that's her. Like, a lot of it is not scripted. That is a true, ask any Egyptians. That is a true Egyptian mom. Or ask moms worldwide. Like, her tendencies are just.
Yeah. The lack of filter is definitely mom's worldwide. The reality check you get every now and then.
Yeah.
Your harshest critic.
Oh my God.
But how is it working with your mom? Especially because sometimes you say really, like, you know, random things to your mom. I get it, it's content and it's funny. Her reaction is incredible. But how did you navigate that kind of like boundary with her?
You know, in the beginning, it was just like raw where I would just say something and I knew she would react. And so I would record it and post it. And then she would freak out because in the beginning, she's like, why are you posting me on social media? What is this? Like, you know, they're used to TV, magazines, proper. Everything. Yeah. And so just like slowly, I would just do it like more and more without her consent. I don't know how that sounds. But, you know, as we spent more time together, she started to understand what the social media game is like and what we were doing and how it was like a positive impact. And even like people with their mom-daughter relationships, like it's crazy. Like we get a lot of messages, oh, you know, I wasn't close with my mom. And then I started seeing how like a fun time you have with your mom. And so like it really like helps people see like even though you can't relate too much or sometimes there's a lot of conflict between different generations, like my mom means so much to me. And like, I could see that a lot of people, like they value their mom as well. And it's just understanding where they come from. So like I find it through comedy. Like I am able to like hang out with my mom more because I'm having a laugh, you know, or sharing things that she does with other people that I'm sure that they can relate to.
That's beautiful. You've also brought her onto your journey of social media, which for her must be so much more foreign than it is to us, right?
Yeah.
So that really helps you bridge that gap as well between you two, which is amazing. But you know the video you did about Shah Rukh Khan's Met Gala outfit?
Oh my God. Ew.
Oh. And you know what's funny? I had the same conversation with my mom. She was like, oh, he looks so good.
Oh, my
God. I was like, excuse me?
No. Oh, when I see her flirting, it just turns my stomach off.
Literally, you can agree, but then suddenly you're like,
Oh, you know, like you want to be cool, but now I'm like, not that cool.
Not that cool.
Just chill. Not just chill, cool. Mama. Yeah.
We don't need to have that kind of conversation just yet.
Like, but, he looks very nice. But can I also add something in? It's when we also started this, going back to America and mainstream media,
yes,
the Arab or the Muslim woman was portrayed as like oppressed. No voice, you know, in the kitchen, doesn't really have
no personality.
Have her, personality, not running the household. And so it was also a way for people in America to see, like, no, this is how a typical Muslim Arab or a Muslim brown woman is. Mm-hmm. And so they were surprised. They were like, oh my God, your mom's so strong. Your mom's so tough. And my mom is able to show, like, she's running everything. You know, she could do whatever she wants. She's more independent than people think. She travels. And social media is out of her realm. She's older in life, but she's like, it can be for anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, you never give up on anything that makes you happy.
Yeah.
She'll literally say that.
No, absolutely. But that's my other question was going to be, because, you know, once you put one part, even if it's like a minimal part of a personal relationship online, you now open it up for critics from the whole world. So what has that been like? Obviously, you've told us about the positives, but is there ever like anything that bothers you that comes with that?
No, I think because my mom, like we do a lot of comedy, a lot of people are like, oh my God, she's so, they don't get it. Like they'll be like, she's so mean. She's so mean. Harsh to you. Mm. Oh, she needs to be nicer. She needs to be... she's like, I don't like how the way your mom talks to you. I'm like, first of all, if you have any family members and you know how raw and real it could be, it's never like that serious. Like,
what
we're
is
more
soft parenting? We
what
don't
is
know.
That? Like, if you know, you've been in an ethnic household growing up, and you say, "Oh my God, she's so mean," like that's not even a thought. And so, I guess that would be something that bothers me. Like, oh my God, she's not mean. Mm. She's just being herself.
Yeah.
She's just being herself, you know?
No.
Yeah. And I don't mind like bad comments about me, but I guess when my mom or my family, I guess it gets annoying.
But okay. So you know the other question I have personally and I'm trying to navigate is when you're a content creator and you start sharing aspects of your personal life. Even you know, I feel like your audience grew up with you,
yeah.
Right? They've seen you become a mother. They've seen you go through life, get married, everything.
Yeah.
Then how do you decide where the boundary is between what you share and what you don't share? And how do you then navigate the expectations that the audience has in terms of what do you owe them?
Okay, that's a really good question because a lot of people think that you have to share so much. And honestly, I'm not filming all day. Like, I'm not filming 24/7. My focus is whether the audience will get something from it or will enjoy it. And so those are the two things. And so I share things on my own terms and I share things that are relatable, but I do not share every single thing. Like, some days I'm having a really horrible, horrible or something that is so personal that is happening, I will keep it to myself.
Mm.
But I will always make sure I share something that sticks to my message or what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't want people to feel like they have to share. If they're on, that's a big thing because a lot of people that want to create content are like, no, because if I post this, then people are going to want to know everything. You think people know everything about? No, it's like one video. And so that's also a thing that happens with viewers. Like, because they see some things on their profile, they think they know everything about you. But, mm-hmm. like, that's just a piece of the puzzle, you know? Mm. There's so much behind the scenes. There's so much other things happening.
I know. And I met this girl literally 2 days ago. And she's like, oh, I'm such a huge fan of your work. And she was like, this is weird meeting you because I know everything about you, but you don't know who I am. And I was like,
they say that too, yeah.
You don't know everything about me. You know what I choose to share about me. Like, you really don't know the majority. But I think that's what the audience, most of people do think that way.
Yeah.
But that's what I I've already thought what I'm calling this episode, which is getting to know the woman behind the reels, right?
Ah.
So, because I feel like we don't know you from just watching your comedy. And now you're sharing your story with us, which is beautiful. But also you've recently very bravely also shared something very personal, which is your battle with breast cancer.
Yes, yeah.
How did you maneuver this whole thing? Because last year, my best friend, who I grew up with, 2 days after her birthday, was also diagnosed with cancer, ovarian cancer.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
And it was a big shock. It was her 30th. And alhamdulillah, she's now cancer-free as well.
Alhamdulillah.
So she's
been
through it. But it was a very difficult journey, having seen it really up close. And she was all the way in Australia. So we had to, you know, be there to support her. But how was it for you?
You know, honestly, like you said, it's a shock.
Mm.
Like, we're in our 30s. So we don't expect anything like this. Like, when I think of myself, I think of that I'm a healthier person. Mm. I eat some greens. I eat my protein. I work out.
Yeah.
And so I never expected cancer to be attached to me or I go through cancer. It was just like something that was so foreign to me.
Yeah, it happens to others, right?
Yeah. Like, when you hear the word cancer, you have a different image in your mind from like the movies, like an older, frail person or somebody who's not doing the right thing, you know?
A smoker, alcohol,
anything. But for me, it was actually a learning lesson. And when I was going through breast cancer, I was like, listen, don't be as cocky or confident as me. Like, just get the checkups, you know? Because
How did you find out?
I found out because I felt a lump.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I was in the shower and I felt a lump in my breast and I kind of was like, what is this? Like, I never felt something. I was like, what? But also, I had just given birth to my son. Like, I was like 6 months, 7 months postpartum.
Wow.
And so it could have been milk. It could have been anything. Yeah. And so I ignored it. Like, when I was talking to people, I was like, oh my God, I felt a lump. This is weird. They're like, no, it's probably like some milk that hardened up.
Yeah.
And so I was cool about it. I was like, yeah, okay. Leave it to God. And then a few weeks later, I was feeling like the lump was getting bigger and bigger exponentially. So I was like, no. This is not normal. And so when I went to the doctors and I got it checked out here, they were like, no, this is not normal. You have breast cancer. And then that started the journey of like the shock and going through treatment and everything.
And I remember when you then decided to share it online and there was that whole saga of the bad haircut.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad hair. Oh, take that back. It wasn't a bad haircut.
Was it not a bad haircut?
No, it wasn't. It was what I wanted.
Oh, that's what you wanted. Oh, it was beautiful. A lovely haircut.
You better stop it.
Take it back.
I like that haircut because that was my, I came
that's
in with that
picture.
That's
what you wanted. Who had it? Was it like a clown?
Are you joking?
What picture was it?
I was the hottest. When I had that hairstyle, all of Dubai was waiting down the line trying to get the same haircut. That's why I went shorter and shorter.
Okay. But I love how that's how you decided to share the story with us online. I remember when you were like, you know, after my bad haircut. Someone commented being like, are you okay?
Yeah, people thought I was like Britney Spears walling out at home.
That's what people
going crazy. They thought I was getting divorced. Like, all the bad news.
All the drama.
The drama. They're like, oh, she's going through a break. Oh, Max really can't stand her. Oh, that was the number one.
That was it.
Oh.
Everyone was in line. I know how you love
that. She's crazy. She's crazy. Oh, she's a crook. She's a nut. She's a nut.
He's
like, me?
Packed. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was crazy because obviously, if you're in front of the camera and you're physically changing, you're going through chemo, or your body's going through different changes, there's only so much you can hide. And so in the beginning, I was personally trying to just understand what was going on. For me, honestly, even when somebody says something rude to me, it takes me 2 weeks to process, okay? I'm like that person that comes 2 weeks like, what did they say? And then I start talking to myself in the mirror. You know what I mean? Like, for real. And so, like, when anything happens to me, it takes me a while to process, especially something traumatic like that. And so when I was going through the diagnosis and the treatment, I'm like, what is this? Like, I didn't know what my body was doing. I didn't understand. I was learning. And so I'm like, who am I to be like learning and sharing? I didn't know what to share. I didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And so I was going through the changes and everything. And obviously everybody was noticing I was losing my hair. Then I started to get more pale, more sickly looking. And so it got to a point where, okay, people were genuinely concerned, like, May, are you okay? I just want to know, like, are you okay? You're like, we're worried. And I was like, okay, this is my online family. This is people who actually care. This is not something I want to share for pity, but this is just something I want to bring awareness to. And so I sat down in front of the camera. I was so nervous. I was like, okay, today's the day. And I sat down and I shared it. And alhamdulillah, it was well received. And a lot of people were like supporting me, honestly, with that online support. It helped me on so many days that I was so weak and like tired. And like a lot of times you try to force yourself to be normal. And like those days where I would read comments, I would be like, okay, just chill, take it easy. Everything's okay. Like people support you, people love you. And so it was like amazing to actually share. Like it was a, it felt like a relief, you know?
Honestly, you did such a beautiful job. The way you shared it, I remember seeing it, and even me, it felt like a stab to the heart. And I didn't know you personally at the time. And I just remember thinking, wow, she did it with so much grace. You know, you just came on being like, listen, guys, this is what's happening. I just want all of you to get tested if you can. I'll tell you more when I'm ready. And I thought that was so well done. So honestly.
Yeah. Honestly. Okay. Because there's a way to do things. And I really wanted to take the time to do it in a positive way. There was so much misery. And like, I didn't want it to be like a picture where I'm posting.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The hospital bed. I wanted to just like share it with people. In a way that it's like, it's okay, I'm getting treated. Make sure you just get tested. Like, everything's going to be okay. And this is really what's happening.
I know, no, you did a great job. And I remember the next video that came out as well, when then you were like, oh no, people actually are nice. But I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah.
But first of all, we are cancer-free now, right?
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, but you got through it. We knew you would get through it, and everyone was praying for you.
Thank you.
We were so in there with you, and I'm really glad you got through. Now we're out.
Alhamdulillah.
We're out, and you're so much more than it. But
alhamdulillah.
Right?
Yeah.
But don't let it define you, of course. But
that's
it is
true.
Part of your history.
Yeah.
Right? And how did it change your mindset now about life?
You know, like, before when I used to do content, I used to just pour. Like, even if I was, like, struggling or anything, I was like, I need to do this video. I need to make sure. But, like, it was the first time or, like, one of the first times I felt like, no, not only do you pour into your content and what you do, people pour into you, too. Like, mm-hmm. you're on, like, it really sat with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes we get caught up in, like, numbers or like how many videos did you like it gets crazy, like, you know, you're just in this rat race. But it was the first time I was like, wow, the community is communitying, you know. Like, it's crazy. But I learned that that life is much more than like your health is number one. Your health is number one. Family, support. Like, all these things you think matter actually don't matter when you're going through a sickness. It
right.
does not matter. And so I also had a son, and I was like, oh my God, like, I need to get through this. I need to be happy, because even babies pick up your energy.
Of course.
And so.
Of course. And, you know, I think even when you announced it, I think it reminded everybody of their own mortality. You know, we forget that one day we're going to die, and then we live life like, we're living forever.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have these reminders in order to put our priorities in place.
That's true.
So
God really humbled me with this one. Because I was living like that. I was like, oh my God, nothing, you know, I'm healthy. Nothing's going to get me. But subhanAllah, like, things happen and then you get humbled. And honestly, it brought me closer to God, and it taught me so much. I didn't know I was this strong. Wallahi. I did not know that I could go through something like this. And then when you're put against the wall and you have to, like, get these poisons injected and go through all these things, like, you're like, okay, like, you can do it.
Yeah, but you know what they say, right? You get put through tests that you can withhold, but also to remind you of your own strength. And I think for you came out shining.
And like, like you said, it's like something that I don't want people to be like, oh, like, this girl has cancer, like, she's a cancer girl, like, you know, it's just like something like, I wanted to be, like, showing it in a different light. Like, you could have a sickness, but you could also be, like, besides that?
You are so much bigger than it.
Am I speaking English right now? I don't even
I
know.
I think so. You can speak.
Yeah.
Other. No, but honestly, I think you have, if that was the mission, that's exactly the message we received, that you are so much bigger than the cancer.
It's crazy how many young girls have to go through this because, yeah. It's after, I was following this girl, Shayma, also online.
I saw her as well.
She's 30 as well. When she turned 30, she found out she had breast cancer. I'm like, is there something in the air? Like, what's going on? And then I saw another young girl. And so, the younger you are, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're young, just go get checked. Because
I know
you can avoid so much if you catch it early on. And it makes a big difference in your experience.
Mm, of course. And alhamdulillah, now we are advanced enough healthcare-wise where we can get treated very early on. So, wow. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you.
That was heavy. But honestly, you should be proud of yourself, girl. Pat yourself on the back.
No, I feel good. It's like, you know, after you hit, you know, you crashed, you can only go up. So, I feel like I'm rebuilding my body. I'm rebuilding everything. Like,
yes.
You feel like you broke out of a shell and, you're creating a new person.
Yeah,
and
it's so like you're upgraded now.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It actually feels really good.
Now is the new May 2.0.
Yeah, you know? No, it really does feel good. Like,
oh, that's amazing. And what's the plan now for May
2.0? I'm going to continue to do things that make me happy.
Yeah.
I continue creating funny content on Instagram. I'm also coming out with my own curly hair brand, which I'm super excited about.
Me too.
I actually started my curly hair brand before all of this happened to me. And so it's been 2.5 years in the making of this. And although there's ups and downs, I'm still so excited to launch it. It will be coming soon. And yeah, creating more content. I don't know. You got to stay tuned, man.
Let's go. But another question you just reminded me of is, I remember when you went, was it a Huda event where you went bald for the first time?
Yeah.
How was that? And also how did going bald change your mind about the standards of beauty and external beauty?
Oh my God, it was crazy. Yeah. To go from a full head of curly hair to nothing.
It's all pride, right? This whole thing.
Hair is a big part of your beauty. And so when that was getting taken away from me, I was like, okay, this is time to see beauty in a different way. And I actually appreciated my head shape. I keep saying this, I never knew I had a perfect head shape.
You actually do. I'm bumpy for sure back then.
I was like, God is good, because I was like, I noticed features that I never thought I would notice. And so I started to accept being bald, and I still had my face, and I was still me.
Yeah.
And so it's not I kept reminding myself that it's temporary. And so sometimes it was hard. I would look in the mirror and oh my God, this is crazy. This is a big change. But, after I announced it, I would be more online, as myself, no wig, no hat, just talking. But the Huda Beauty event was the first time in person I was going out, because usually behind the screen you don't see people, and so it's more I always feel like I'm talking to you guys directly,
but you don't see the reaction
you're not outside. It's different. And so the Huda Beauty was a big deal, because I was oh my God, I'm actually rocking the bald head for the first time. I will tell you, I felt so beautiful that day, and literally you feel like you're shining from the inside, because you finally accept how you look. It's crazy. So that day was so, it was just a new chapter. It was okay, it is what it is. You can go outside, and it's at first you feel like a freak, a little bit. And then I felt like I was so beautiful that day. And I was this changed the way that I perceived bald head. I was more rocking it. And then,
but you know, you broke out of that stereotypes about what beauty means, right?
Yeah.
Beauty can mean anything. You own it. You define your definition of beauty is for you to hold. And I think you gave so many people so much courage to show up as themselves.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. And honestly, you get so worried about what other people are going to say, oh my God, or no, people are so supportive. People see it they know when you're genuine. They see when you're being yourself. And so when I came out and I was yeah, this is what it is, people were amazing. Like, I didn't feel out of place. I didn't feel like, oh, even Hoda came up to me. She's like, I love that you came with no wig, nothing. And I'm like, yes, yes. Obviously, I was crying like I'm crying today. I'm just like an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a big deal. And I don't know, like, maybe other people can tell me, like, if they went through something like this, like, when you first step outside and you just embrace it, like, it's a big, like, relief. It's like, oh, my God. And then you do it and you're like, okay, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
It's really not that bad.
Calm down.
Yeah. So, but again, that message, you've passed it along to everybody now because, you know, if, it might not be hair for everyone else. It might be different things about the way they don't see themselves as beautiful. But now, you know, it's such a beautiful message that you put out there.
Yeah.
Show up as yourself.
And I will say, like, now I'm so more accepting of things that I'm going through. Like, right now I have short hair. I never thought I would have, like, a hairstyle like this.
Mm.
I actually love it. Like, I'm so accepting. And I feel blessed. Like, when I see a little bit of hair, like, I'm like, okay, alhamdulillah. When I think back about, like, breast cancer, I'm like, alhamdulillah, I had breast cancer because some cancers are not curable. Like,
exactly.
I was lucky enough. And so you start to think of, like, okay, stop whining, you know. You can go through something miserable and make it horrendous. Or you can say, alhamdulillah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I got to get through this. You can have some bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, honestly, your perspective changes everything.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that saying where they say that if everybody were to dump all of their miseries in a pile, and when you saw everyone else's miseries and challenges, you would run to get yours back.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always tend to compare upwards. We look at people who have it better than us. We never look downwards. We never see how much worse could it be.
True.
So I think that's a beautiful mindset to have, that, you know, just be grateful for what you have. Because there's a good in it, there's a bad in it. But either way, God will take you through it.
And I was fortunate. I was like, okay, I live in a home. Like, I don't have to work.
Exactly.
There was so many positives. Like, I had my family. My mom was here. My husband. You know, I had help.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't have help.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of
things. You can get good health care.
Yeah. Good health care. It was very good. And so there was a lot of things that made it comfortable. Even though it wasn't comfortable, I felt blessed overall.
That's good. See, you have such a good mindset. Yeah. And I love that you kept the comedy going throughout.
Did I?
You were still being funny about it.
I don't know, but this is really how I talk. So it's like, I don't even know when I'm being funny.
Oh, my goodness. But listen, the last thing I have been asked to talk about with you.
Excuse me?
Is are you accepting applications for wife number two for your husband or not?
Who the hell asked this question?
I have a list of names for you.
Who the hell?
List of names.
Wife number two?
Mm.
She's right here. Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. She's coming.
Did you not bring the wigs?
She's coming. She's coming. Salamu alaikum, motherfuckers. Number two. Okay?
Okay.
He has four wives and he's happy with all of them.
Oh, he already has the four.
Yeah.
See, you should tell people that.
I have said it many times. People are not taking...
They keep coming
Please
for
post
you.
This one.
We will. We
he
will.
Has four wives.
He's taken.
All of them crazy. All of them keeping him busy.
Yeah.
They say, is it Islamic? Can you fill this in? Because I don't know. I'm just using anything I can to
Tell
make
me.
Sure this point is valid. He has to be able to provide...
Equally.
Equally.
For each of them.
I have... there is no equal... I have a lot of demands.
Well, we can reduce your demands.
No.
Oh. Oh. That's not how it works. No, she
was asking.
All of his assets are taken basically right now.
Yeah,
so
because
he can't afford it.
Okay, okay. He says, oh, I want a second wife.
Yeah.
Habibi, sure. Sure. You can say sure, right?
Yeah. Show me.
Then you take the credit card. You buy another. I need a house.
Mm.
I need a car.
You are in a house right now. You have a
Shut your mouth.
Yes. She needs a second house.
I need a.
A second
My
house?
Own, no, not a second. I need one house.
Oh, yeah.
A car.
Yeah.
What and else? A lot of objects. So he won't be able to financially afford me and three of my other personalities and another wife.
Yes, it's really not you that's stopping him. It's just the law, you know?
And he doesn't want, if you ask, stop Max in the street.
Yeah, what?
Ask him.
You should get him on camera to say it.
Oh, after you deal with all of this? You don't want a second wife. No. He's happy.
No, he's lucky.
And why you take a happy man, make him miserable?
She didn't even hear the compliment I gave
her.
Oh,
what did you say?
I said he's lucky.
Oh, alhamdulillah. He's lucky. See? You got me lucky. So worked up. Who asked this?
I have a list for you. Keep saying, I think people know that you love that question.
I do not love this question. Put that out there. I do not love this question. No, do not ask me this question again. No.
We won't ask ever again.
Thank you.
But tell us how you met Max.
I'm so angry right now. I can't even tell you. But like, why would you start me off so angry and then you say, tell me how
you... It's for you. I wanted everyone to be reminded that they need to back off. This is not even a thing. You know?
Let me just take a second.
Breathe. Just remind.
And this is one of the most requested questions?
It is. Because people...
Let me take another breath, please.
People find your reaction so funny to it.
Take another second. I'm not going to react because you're right. The more I react, the more people will ask it.
The more you react, people will want it. Yeah.
Sure, he can have someone.
No, he can't.
He can never have one.
He can't afford it right now. Anyway.
So how I met...
You know, because I'll tell you why, yeah? Everyone nowadays, I'm sure you know, is struggling to find a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a problem right now. So maybe you can give advice. I know you were telling people to go to conferences.
Yeah,
at some
point. What I'm saying. Like, you need to go where the love is.
The love?
Yeah, the love.
It's at a conference.
Where you go where... You have to be where you want to be. Mm. Understand me. Listen. Okay? Say you want a guy who's a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. Are you going to go to the club? You think the clubs have the engineer? The engineers
are. They are. That's where they go.
Are times changing? Am I getting old?
Times are changing. How long have you been married for?
3 years.
Yes, you've been off the market too long. You don't know what it's like now. It's the ghetto.
Oh my God. Mm.
They all work hard and party hard.
Okay, but listen, this is what I was trying to say.
Mm, tell us.
People pass over the events. Mm. Like there was an Arabian travel market. You want to go on vacations? You need to go to the travel market.
Mm.
Everybody who's traveling is at the travel market.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody go there? Asking questions, looking for love. Did they go to where the love is?
How do you go there looking for love?
You go, you look nice, you ask questions.
Okay.
Have a conversation.
Just be a girl. Go just ask be, questions.
Just be a girl.
Okay.
That's it. Go. The problem is people don't network. They're too much behind the screen.
That's true.
My day, you have to go like this. You have to be shy.
A bit coy.
Yeah. You have to say some poetry.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people don't put the effort.
Oh. See? Okay. I mean, that might be, you know, someone told me go to the running clubs. I was like, do I look like someone who would wake up at 5 a.m. and go to a running club? And you know what her solution was? She was like, I think it was Pretty Malik. It was pretty, wasn't it?
Oh, pretty.
She was like, no, just put your makeup on and join at the end when they're coming back from the running. And
that's
be like, oh,
smart.
That was a long run.
That's
and then
smart.
You look cute. Everyone else looks rough. And you're like, oh, so what do you do?
She has a point. You could try it. Try it. Don't knock it till you try it. You could try it.
I mean, the conferences make sense.
See, conferences make sense. It's not all about, like, if you go to the club in the lounges, you know what the vibes are.
Yeah, and that's not where you'll find a husband
anyway.
You don't
find anybody serious.
Yeah.
If you go to the education and you want to better yourself, I'm working on my personal brand.
Mm.
I'm working on my future. I want to learn more.
Mm-mm.
What?
Yeah. I might. I will report back. Well, what is coming up? Jitex or something coming up soon?
You gotta Google it.
I'm going to be there.
Google it.
Yeah.
Push on net. Push on internet. Hotty. Events in Dubai.
Hotty,
and then you're gonna find it.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
But how did you meet Max?
Okay, now I'm in a better mood. I actually met him because I was networking. I was working on myself. Wallahi, this is actually the truth. He was actually huge in the real estate game in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big YouTuber. He was actually an influencer way before me, okay? Mm-hmm. So I would go online and learn from his videos. Legit. Like how to invest. This is one of the time when I was telling you I was trying to find myself. I was learning. And so, yeah, I found him and I actually met him at one of his conferences. Okay. I
Played met him. Works.
Yes. So I met him. I was sitting next to his mom. I met his friends. And then we became friends over the years. We keep in touch, okay? And people think he was Muslim after he met me. No. He was going through his own thing. I was going through my own thing. Aww. He had converted. He had Muslim friends. He was learning more about the religion. And anyway, so like honestly, we got connected. We got connected around my birthday, and we were just spending time, and we were talking, and I was like, listen, I want something serious. Like, I don't do this, like, I don't do this dating one, two, three. And he was serious, and, like, so our timelines aligned at the same point. And, yeah, he was the first man that was, like, so, like, you know, like, sometimes you say, like, no, you have to come to my house and ask for my dad. Yeah. Like, ask my dad for my hand. I thought he was going to run away because, like, who's going to, like, right away, like, This is a scary thing. He was like, okay, how do I do that? Like, no. I was like, oh, my God. This man is serious.
Oof. That's when you know.
That's why I say, like, men know right away if they want to marry you or not. Like, it does not take that, like, years and years.
Say louder. You know how many women waste time with men that just don't want them?
He needs time.
He's not ready yet.
Yeah. No. They know. They will... If they want you, they will do anything to get you. Mm. And, like, I experienced that with Max because he came to the house right away. We were engaged 2 months later. That, you know, we got married 2 months later. And it was like...
Bish, bash, bash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
I love that.
And also, like, when my family sees a man that's so serious...
Of course.
...and checks all the boxes, they're not going to have a problem with it. People are like, oh, did your family not like that Max is Jamaican? I'm like, they didn't give a damn. The man has everything.
How does that matter?
What if he's Egyptian? You know, he actually speaks some Arabic, but what? You know, he just ticked all the boxes. And
Yeah, I think people get bogged down in unnecessary details.
Yeah, it's like it's very small mentality. Like, you know, not every family is the same. Mm. And I understand that some families are like, no, you can only marry somebody from our country or someone. But the fact that he was Muslim, he was a good man.
That's what matters.
He was serious. My mom, my dad loved him right away, honestly. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. And if I could do it, anybody, listen.
Please don't tell
anything
us.
Anything is possible.
Don't tell us that same line that everyone tells us, when the right time is here.
No, that's what I'm not saying. I didn't say when the right time.
You said go to conferences.
I said go to the, go network. Stop it. You're the reason.
Good network.
You're the reason why. No, go.
But I tell you where women also go wrong with the network. They go network with, like, their masculine energy out. They feel like it's for a job. You're like, no. You don't actually care about the outcome. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Just be a girl.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And I can't believe I'm going to ask this. Tell us a joke.
What? I'm out of this podcast.
I heard you're funny.
You never tell a comedian to tell a joke.
That's what they all say. That's because they don't.
You know what's
funny.
A joke? A guy that says pay for half of the bill on the first day. That's a joke. Okay? But you don't tell a comedian to tell a joke. That's really bad taste.
You had such an easy answer. You didn't take it.
Which one?
When someone tells you tell a joke, you know what you should say?
What?
Just say the person's name.
Dr. Sheen? Like,
yeah, just be like, you're the joke.
But
yeah.
Doesn't
Sheen. You get it? I can see computing. You get
it? No. This is why you're not in the comedy space and you shouldn't.
Are you saying I'm not funny?
Stay out of it. Just stay out of it. Leave it to the professionals. Leave it to the professionals.
Wait, going back to what did you say about splitting the bills? That's funny.
That's a joke.
Yeah, that's a joke.
That's a joke.
So even
bad joke
in America is there, isn't it? The 50-50.
That is very prevalent,
But not here.
Not here, no.
But listen, we've covered everything from your childhood to your relationship with your mom, your content, your husband, the cancer story, and the curly hair. Everything.
Oh,
is there anything? And we've covered you as a mother as well. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on now? Any advice you want to give to all the young women who are listening to you today and who are huge fans of yours?
Whatever is your passion in life, go after it. Even if it sounds like crazy, because I know when I started, everybody's like, you're doing Instagram, you're doing videos. And now it's like everybody's doing it. But when you find something that makes you happy, that you find your passion in, just stick to it, give it your all. And I swear, like consistency is key. They say, you think like I'm something special. I'm really not. I'm just so consistent. Even now when people, when you say, oh, you're big, people watch you. I don't feel like that. I just feel like, yo, every day I'm going hard. Every day I'm like, what am I posting? What am I doing? Like, whatever you're passionate about, stick to it and stick to consistency and have fun. Like, relax, have fun.
Yeah.
Ooh. Big that was advice. I went deep today. I went really deep.
You did. But that was very good advice. I think people don't see, especially even for you, I'm sure you had a long journey before it actually took off, right? But people don't see that. Yeah. They just think that, oh, well, she's already made it. Why am I not making it? People give up so easily. And I think we just need to keep going. And I love the story of, do you know Walt Disney?
Yes.
Do you know how many times his pitch was rejected?
Yeah.
Like, was it like 72 times or something for Disney World? And now look, we all are obsessed with Disney. So
Sometimes I look at my old videos and I'm like, oh my God, like this is not the best editing. The text was like captions were this big.
I look awkward.
Yeah, or like the acting is so bad. But I'm like, at least I started. Like, you know, that's how you learn. Like you're not always gonna be amazing in the beginning. Mm-mm. Don't expect to go viral the first time or just start. You don't need a whole like camera production, like you could just keep it raw, like use your camera and do what you can, and then you'll learn.
Yeah.
You'll get better.
Yeah, as long as you're incrementally improving every time, that's what matters. But listen, May, this was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us.
Thank you.
And keep doing whatever you're doing.
Thank you. I had ups and downs and ups on this. Thank you for having me. Appreciated it.
Thank you.